I want you to know, Potter, he said in a loud, carrying voice, that it's not only weirdos who support you. I personally believe you 100%. My family have always stood firm behind Dumbledore, and so do I.
Thanks very much, Ernie, said Harry, taken aback but pleased. Ernie might be pompous on occasions like these, but Harry was in a mood to deeply appreciate a vote of confidence from somebody who was not wearing radishes in their ears. Ernie's words had certainly wiped the smile from Lavender Brown's face, and, as he turned to talk to Ron and Hermione, Harry caught Seamus's expression, which looked both confused and defiant. To nobody's surprise, Professor Sprout started their lesson by lecturing them about the importance of OWLs. Harry wished all the teachers would stop doing this. He was starting to get an anxious, twisted feeling in his stomach every time he remembered how much homework he had to do, a feeling that worsened dramatically when Professor Sprout gave them yet another essay at the end of class. Tired and smelling strongly of dragon dung, Professor Sprout's preferred brand of fertilizer, the Gryffindors trooped back up to the castle an hour and a half later, none of them talking very much. It had been another long day. As Harry was starving, and he had his first detention with Umbridge at 5 o'clock, he headed straight for dinner without dropping off his bag in Gryffindor Tower so that he could bolt something down before facing whatever she had in store for him. He had barely reached the entrance of the Great Hall, however, when a loud and angry voice said, "Oi, Potter!" "What now?" he muttered wearily, turning to face Angelina Johnson, who looked as though she was in a towering temper. "I'll tell you what now," she said, marching straight up to him and poking him hard in the chest with her finger. "How come you've landed yourself in detention for 5 o'clock on Friday?"
"What?" said Harry.
"Why, oh, yeah, keeper tryouts." "Now he remembers," snarled Angelina. "Didn't I tell you I wanted to do a tryout with the whole team and find someone who fitted in with everyone? Didn't I tell you I'd book the Quidditch pitch specially? And now you've decided you're not going to be there."
"I didn't decide not to be there," said Harry, stung by the injustice of these words.
"I got detention from that Umbridge woman just because I told her the truth about you-know-who."
"Well, you can just go straight to her and ask her to let you off on Friday," said Angelina fiercely. "And I don't care how you do it. Tell her you-know-who's a figment of your imagination, if you like. Just make sure you're there."
She turned on her heel and stormed away.
"You know what?" Harry said to Ron and Hermione as they entered the Great Hall. "I think we'd better check with Puddlemere United whether Oliver Wood's been killed during a training session, because she seems to be channeling his spirit."
"What do you reckon are the odds of Umbridge letting you off on Friday?" said Ron skeptically as they sat down at the Gryffindor table.
"Less than zero," said Harry glumly, tipping lamb chops onto his plate and starting to eat. "Better try, though, hadn't I? I'll offer to do 2 more detentions or something, I don't know."
He swallowed a mouthful of potato and added,
"I hope she doesn't keep me too long this evening. You realise we've got to write 3 essays, practice vanishing spells for McGonagall, work out a counter charm for Flitwick, finish the Bowtruckle drawing, and start that stupid dream diary for Trelawney."
Ron moaned and for some reason glanced up at the ceiling.
"And it looks like it's going to rain."
"What's that got to do with our homework?"
said Hermione, her eyebrows raised.
"Nothing,"
said Ron at once, his ears reddening.